Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are up to the 41st Psalm, the last Psalm of the first book of Psalms, okay? The Psalms are collected as five separate books. We've actually been doing a Bible study online about the Psalms, and the Bible studies itself end with this first book. And this is a series of studies that I've been doing. Oh gosh, I've been doing these studies since 1988, I think, something like that, in the Bible, not just Psalms. And they just came out with the Psalms, and I was sort of shocked that they're not going to do all the Psalms. They're just going to do this first book and not finish the rest of them in a workbook format in the way that they normally do things. And I wasn't sure at all as to why initially. I think I probably have a little more insight into it now, but I still don't know really why. Nobody's told me why from the company. But they have basically trained people in the first two courses that cover these first 41 chapters. They trained us how to approach the Psalms, how to study the Psalms. Okay, this is what you do. You read this, you do this, and then you can do it on your own. In other words, you don't really have to be handheld all the way through the balance of the 110 Psalms that are left to do it. And I thought, okay, that's useful. I could argue both ways. I could argue for actually finish the task at hand, but I can argue for finishing the task in this way, the way they did it. I believe we're going to continue on in the Psalms here in this format in the podcast. There's just way too much to be gleaned, is there not? The Psalms speak so much of so many subjects that people don't realize they do. So let's read this 41st Psalm here. Again, it's got a title, and it says, "To the choir master, to the chief musician, a Psalm of David," which we've seen many, many times, okay? And it says this, David says, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor." So King James, ESV, Lexham all say that. New American Standard says, "Blessed is he who considers the helpless." Okay, well, you think, well, that's sort of the same idea. Well, maybe, okay? But the one who is blessed is the one who considers the poor, who considers the helpless. The next part of the verse says, "In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him." And all the translations except the ESV I'm reading right now put a period right here, and that's the end of the thought. The ESV carries it over and says, "In the day of the trouble, the Lord delivers him, the Lord protects him, and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies." So the ESV carries the thought through the next sentence. Regardless of how you punctuate it, the basic idea is still there. That in the day of the trouble, the Lord is going to deliver the one who considers the poor, who helps the helpless. So he's not talking about the poor and the helpless, though he does talk about them. He's talking about blessed is the one who considers, okay, or who has regard for such a one. And the word actually is a little more thoughtful and intense than that. It means to be prudent. Blessed is the one who is prudent in relationship to the poor and the helpless, or who acts wisely or behaves wisely or considers or comprehends or discerns. So there's a lot of depth to that, okay? So the one who considers the poor is blessed. Why? Because in the day of trouble, the Lord's going to deliver you. The Lord's going to protect you, and the Lord's going to keep you alive. And this person is called blessed in the land. Blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. So he's saying you're going to be protected by God. God is not going to give you up to the will of his enemies. And I tell you what, folks, this is a seriously, seriously profound thought for us to consider. Again, I would encourage you to go back and read these first few verses here in Psalm 41, because we have entered into days to where evil is afoot of a way that man has never experienced, if for no other reason, just for the sheer amount of humanity. I think there's 8 billion people now, okay, 8 billion people alive on the earth. So just by pure numbers, okay, there's more evil than there has been. But also the instrumentation, the weaponization of evil, the way that evil is implemented now, it's just vastly beyond anything that people knew about 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. But fear not. The Lord protects. The Lord keeps alive. The one who is called blessed will be the one who does what? Considers the poor, considers the helpless. Verse 3. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. So again, it's talking about the one who does this. Notice it did not say that the Lord will keep him from being sick, that the Lord will keep these kind of things away from him. No, it says that the Lord will sustain him, strengthen him when he's on his sickbed, and then he will restore him to full health. Verse 4, as for me, David speaking, I said, Lord, be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. We've seen the same type of phraseology in the previous Psalms in a couple of ways, but here he just cuts to the chase. O Lord, so David's reiterating that the Most High God is his Lord. And he says what? I said, be gracious to me. So he's speaking of this from the past tense when this occurred. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. We've seen this alluded to. Maybe that's too strong of a word. But here, folks, it is said forthright. David ties it together that he had sinned against the Lord. He'd sinned against him. And because of that, there was something wrong with him that required healing. New American Standard says this, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. King James picks up on that too. Heal my soul. The ESV and Lexham just simply say, heal me. And so there seems to be a spiritual type of thing that's going on here, but also a physical. Verse 5, it strengthens that. It says this, my enemies say of me in malice, in other words, speaking evil against him, when will he die and his name perish? That's what the enemies are asking. Verse 6, and when one comes to see me, he utters empty words while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. So he knows that his enemies are coming in to see him when he's sick. And he knows that they're really desirous of his death, that he would die physically and that his name would perish, that his progeny, that the generations, that people would forget that he even existed. And when they come in, they utter empty words. In other words, they're just bringing forth all the pious platitudes that you do when you're visiting somebody who's ill and who's sick. But then they're gathering iniquity. They're gathering wickedness, gathering literally information about him to where they can go out and tell it abroad, to tell everybody what the state of David is, to tell everybody what the state of affairs is that we are in the midst of the day. Yeah, see, none of this stuff's new, right? But David is saying what? Lord, I'm dependent upon you to deal with this. Tell you what, I'm going to stop right here. My time's up. We got some more to look at. We'll do that in the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.